والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وخاتم المرسلين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Respected listeners, I've been requested to speak on the topic of سيدنا أبو عبيدة بن الجراح رضي الله عنه. It may seem strange, and undoubtedly some of us have been questioned, that after hearing such horrendous accounts of suffering all over the world, and after hearing about our duty and obligation as Muslims to assist others and to relieve them of their suffering, what is the wisdom and the purpose of speaking about one individual, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah? Well, there are a good few reasons. One, the Sham, that whole region of Sham, which includes modern-day Syria and, in fact, part of Turkey as well, along with the Levant, Palestine, Jordan, that whole region, which is traditionally known as Sham. Sham was actually conquered and came under Islamic rule. And Islam was introduced to that region under the very leadership and the supreme command of Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiyallahu anhu. He also died there as a shaheed and a martyr in the plague, and he's buried there. Furthermore, these are our spiritual ancestors. These are the noble companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And speaking about them, learning about them, is without doubt of great benefit in itself. Imam Junayd al-Baghdadi, rahmatullahi alayhi, very famous scholar and saint of this ummah, he was asked by his disciples, is there any benefit in relating these stories of the pious? So his students asked him, is there any benefit in relating and in discussing the stories of the pious? We weren't even speaking about companions, just about pious people in general. So Imam Junayd al-Baghdadi, rahmatullahi, said, yes, of course. Through the stories of the pious, Allah grants steadfastness and stability to the hearts of the believers. So the disciples asked him, is there any proof or evidence for that? So he recited the verse of the Holy Quran, وَكُلَّا نَقُصَّ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَجَاءَكَ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَقُّ وَمَوْعِظَةٌ وَذِكْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. In this verse, Surah Hud, Allah Azza wa Jal addresses the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says to him, and indeed we do relate of the stories of the messengers, such stories that through them we grant steadfastness to your heart. And in these stories, the truth has come to you, as well as an admonition and a reminder for the believers. So if Allah relates the stories of the former messengers alayhi salatu wasalam to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was actually more virtuous and greater than them, and the purpose and the wisdom of relating the stories of the former prophets of Allah to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to give strength and stability and steadfastness to his noble heart, and for there to be wisdom and advice and a reminder for the believers in the stories of the former messengers alayhi wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that imagine what steadfastness and inspiration we will achieve and we will receive in learning about the lives of not just pious scholars and saints, but of someone who is a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and of someone of the caliber of Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiyallahu anhu. Furthermore, we may have vaguely learnt and heard that Sham, the same Syria, the same whole region that we are discussing, we may have learnt vaguely that this was conquered under the supreme command and leadership of Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiyallahu anhu. However, we should never think that he was merely a military commander or a warrior and a soldier. What made the companions who they were was not so much their military prowess, but it was their piety, their purity, their honesty, their integrity, their love of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and their lovelessness for this world. That's what made them who they were. And the same can be said about Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiyallahu anhu. Sayyidina Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu didn't just appoint him as a commander of one of the divisions of that invaded Sham. And later Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu, and then Sayyidina Abu Bakr himself did not elevate him to the supreme command. And nor did Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu elevate him and retain him in the supreme command of all of the armies of Sham, simply because he was a warrior, a soldier, or because of his military prowess or his leadership skills. No. The reason both Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu elevated him to that position was because of his standing with Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because of his unique personal qualities. So let me share a few of those qualities with you in the hope that through Allah may inspire us. Allah may grant steadfastness to our hearts, so that we may also learn and hopefully follow in their footsteps. Sayyidina Abu, and another reason for actually speaking about Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiyallahu anhu is that unfortunately very little is actually known about him. Even though he was one of the greatest companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hopefully you, by the end of this short session, during which I'll share a few words, I hope that we can go away with a better understanding of who this great companion truly was, and what made him who he was. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu anhu, his real name was Amir, his father's name was Abdullah. He was born in Mecca, and he was actually one of the Quraysh. He was one of the very first people to embrace Islam. According to some accounts, he was actually one of the first 10 or 12 people to embrace Islam. One of the earliest of the Muslims. He supported the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and suffered as a result of becoming a Muslim in the early years because of that persecution. He even did hijrah to Abyssinia. And then, eventually, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did hijrah to Medina, he followed in his footsteps. He was very close to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after doing hijrah, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa sallam kept him by his side, appointed him as a commander of many battalions and regiments that went out over the years. He trusted him greatly. And Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiyallahu anhu proved his devotion and his love for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in each of the battles of Islam. He attended all of the battles side by side with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much so that in the Battle of Badr, his own father Abdullah stood on the opposing side with the pagans of Mecca. And during the Battle of Badr, his father Abdullah actually sought out his son, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. And he kept on presenting himself in front of his son, provoking him. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu eventually engaged his own father in battle, and he killed him. A number of authors, such as Ibn Abi Hatim, Imam Tabarani, as well as Imam Bayhaqi and Shu'ab al-Iman, all relate that it was after a number of companions had killed their closest relatives, including specifically Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu, who had killed his father, that Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed the verse of Surah Al-Mujadala, in which Allah says, لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَاكُونَ مَنْ حَارَبَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَوْ كَانُوا آبَاءَهُمْ أَوْ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ أَوْ إِخْوَانَهُمْ أَوْ عَشِيرَتَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْهُ وَيُدْخِلُهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ أُولَٰئِكَ حِزْبُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah says, you will not find people who believe in Allah in the final day, befriending and loving those who have challenged and opposed Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though these challenges and opponents may be their own fathers or their own brothers or their own sons or their own family members. These are a people in whose hearts Allah has engraved Iman and supported them with a spirit from unto Himself. Allah shall enter them into gardens beneath which rivers shall flow. Therein they shall abide. Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah. This is the party of Allah, and it is the party of Allah which is victorious and dominant. So these authors, Imam Bayhaqi and Shu'ab al-Iman, Imam Tabarani, rahmatullahi alayhi, all relate that this verse was actually revealed about Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu, who, out of his loyalty to Allah and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when faced by his own father in battle, chose Allah and his Messenger, and not his own father, who had challenged Allah and his Messenger alayhi sallam. That was his devotion and loyalty. In the Battle of Uhud, he displayed a remarkable valor. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam retreated into safety because of the reversal of the fortune of the Muslims in the Battle of Uhud, and there was an onslaught of attacks against the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only a handful of people surrounded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, protecting him. And one of those who ran to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to support him and protect him was none other than Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu relates that I made my way to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Ubaidah came with me. And then, by that time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already been injured. And as part of that injury, his helmet, two rings of the helmet, had embedded themselves into the noble cheek of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, causing him great pain. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu tried to remove them or do something to relieve the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his pain. Rather, Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu said to Sayyidina Abu Bakr, move aside, O Abu Bakr, leave me, let me do this. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu steps aside. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, rather than removing or attempting to remove the links of that helmet with his fingers or hands, he dug his teeth into the cheek of Rasulullah and bit out one of the rings, and in doing so, one of his teeth fell out. Then he bit the second ring and pulled it out. Again, another one of his teeth fell out. From that moment onwards, for the rest of his life, two of his teeth from the front of his mouth, his incisors, were missing, and they clearly showed Yet the companions, radiallahu anhu, would say, "We have never seen any missing teeth or any gaps in anyone's mouth as beautiful as the gaps in the teeth of a wallpaper." For the rest of his life. Because not only did they look beautiful, the gaps, but they were all reminded that he lost those teeth, he injured his lips, and he bled from his mouth for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He remained devoted to him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam trusted him. He trusted him with his wealth, he trusted him with his leadership, he trusted him with the wealth of the Muslims to such an extent that when there was a huge wealth that was needed to be collected from Bahrain, not the island, but the whole eastern region used to be called Bahrain in those days, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Abu Ubaid ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu. In the 9th year of Hijrah, a Christian delegation arrived from Najran, which was a region of modern day Southern Arabia. Today it's in the south of Arabia, a whole region known as Najran. And this entire region was actually Christian, Arab Christians. So a delegation of Arab Christians came to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the negotiations, finally, they agreed that they would go back and pay a tribute to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muslims. But the leaders of the Christian delegation said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "O Muhammad, we want you to send someone with us. But do not send anyone except someone who is extremely trustworthy. Do not send anyone except someone who is extremely trustworthy." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will send with you someone who is truly and genuinely trustworthy. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu, when they heard this, every one of them aspired to be that person who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent. In fact, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu says, before that day when the Christian delegation had arrived, before that day, never for a moment had I dreamt of leadership, or had I aspired to leadership, or hoped that I would ever be made a leader or Amir, except for that day when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "I will send with you someone who is extremely trustworthy." The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, some of them actually rose and leant forward, leaning on their knees, raising their heads in the hope that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would choose them. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, of all people, did the same. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed to Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu and said, "Qum ya Aba Ubaidah, O Abu Ubaidah, rise and go with them." And then addressing the Christian delegation and all the companions, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna li kulli ummatin amina." Every nation has a trustee and a trustworthy person. Wa aminu hadhihi ummati Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. And the ameen, the trustee, the custodian of this ummah is Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose him over everybody else. And there was a reason for that. He was beloved to Allah, he was beloved to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of his noble qualities. He was extremely humble, devoted and loyal to Allah and his messenger, sincere, abstemious, abstaining from the dunya, no love for the dunya whatsoever, willing to sacrifice himself for the sake of Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, always giving privilege and preference to others over himself. And this is why Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised a number of people, and as part of that group, he mentioned Ni'ma al-Rajul Abu Ubaidah, that how beautiful a man is Abu Ubaidah. In fact, Imam Al-Wahd ibn Abi Shaybah rahmatullahi alayhi relates a mursal hadith from Imam Al-Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, in which Al-Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions, listen to these words, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companions, "There is not one person amongst you who, if I wished, I would not be able to criticize." Meaning, if I wish, I would be able to criticize every single one of you, except a wallpaper. These are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That if I wish, I would be able to criticize the character of every one of you, with the exception of a wallpaper. And that's why Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullah relates a hadith from Sayyidina Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, a very beautiful hadith. He said to his disciples, he said, I heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Abu Bakr is in Jannah, Umar is in Jannah, Uthman is in Jannah, Ali is in Jannah, Zubayr is in Jannah, Talha is in Jannah, Abdul Rahman ibn Awf is in Jannah, Abu Ubayd ibn Jarrah is in Jannah, and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas is in Jannah. And before that he said there are 10 who are in Jannah, and then he mentioned every one of them. That was 9. Then he stopped. So his disciples said, who is the 10th? Oh, Abu al-A'wa. Abu al-A'wa was the kunya of Sayyidina Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu. He kept quiet. So his students said, who is the 10th? We beg you in the name of Allah. So Sayyid ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu said, now that you have asked me in the name of Allah, I will tell you, Sayyid ibn Zayd is in Jannah, referring to himself. Sayyidina Abu Ubayd ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu was on the 10th on this Jannah. And he was beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah relates a hadith from Abdullah ibn Shaqiq, who says that I asked, or there was a group of us and we asked al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, who was the most beloved of all the people to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha said, the most beloved of all the people to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Abu Bakr. We then said, then who? She said, Umar ibn al-Khattab. We then said, then who? Imagine, she mentioned no one else. She said, Abu Ubayd ibn Jarrah. It's the hadith of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in Muslim. So Abdullah ibn Shaqiq says, we then asked, who after that? Al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha kept quiet. She mentioned only 3 people: Abu Bakr, Umar, and Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu ajma'een. These 3 were the most beloved to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of all the people and in that world. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam trusted him. And it may not be very well known, but after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he passed away, on the day when the companions, the Muhajirun and the Ansar had gathered to choose the next leader, in fact their first leader after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had departed from this world, on that occasion Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu actually stood up and said to all of those who had convened, he said to them, I have chosen and I am content with one of these 2 people to serve as your leader. So choose one of them. And the 2 he mentioned were Umar ibn al-Khattab and Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu then turned to Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu and he said to him, O Abu Ubaidah, extend your right hand so that I may pledge my allegiance to you and make you the leader of the Muslims. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu said, I will never allow myself to be placed before someone whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose to appoint as our leader in prayer and who continued to lead us in prayer till the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed from this world, meaning Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. It was only then that Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was made the Khalifa by first of all by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu and then the Sahaba radiallahu anhu who followed suit. And in fact, Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi relates a hadith in his Sahih Imam Muslim. Again, from Ummu Aisha radiallahu anha, she was asked that if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have appointed a deputy after him, who would he have made a khalifa by explicit appointment? So Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha said, Abu Bakr. They then asked, who after Abu Bakr? She said, Umar ibn al-Khattab. They then asked, who after Umar ibn al-Khattab? Again, she said, Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. Then they asked who? Again, she fell silent. So these are two very similar hadith. The first one was the hadith of the Musnad of Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Who was the most beloved to the Prophet of Allah? This is a hadith of Sahih Muslim and the Musnad of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, in which she was asked, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have appointed someone as the deputy, who would he have done so? Again, in the same order, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, and then Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, being the kind of person he was, very strict, no one would be able to stand before Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu feared him, let alone others. The companions feared him. But the high esteem in which Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu held Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah speaks volumes of his character. This is how Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu viewed Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. Once he was seated, Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar, and he said to all of those who were seated, wish for something. So one of them wished for something. He then said to them, again, wish. Another one made a few wishes. He said to them, again, wish, make your wishes. Others made their wishes. After hearing the wishes of all of us, a number of those who were present, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said to them, rather, contrary to all of your wishes, do you know what my wish is? My wish is that Allah will fill a house full of people like this, but full of people of the caliber and the like of Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. My wish is to see a whole house full of people like Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu didn't just admire him, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu loved Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. It's related that once they both met. And imagine, this is Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab, when he met Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, he embraced him. And then Sayyidina Umar took his hand and kissed his hand. And then they both retreated away from the eyes of the people, and they were both seen weeping. Sayyidina Umar was weeping, Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was weeping. When Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was about to pass away, and well, he was caught in the plague in Sham, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu wrote to him quickly, sent, dispatched a message, saying, O Abu Ubaidah, I am in great need of you. So come. Make haste. Leave everything and come. Come to me. I cannot do without you. When Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu received the letter, he informed those who were around him, and he said, may Allah have mercy on Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab. I know what he wishes to do. He wishes to save someone, meaning me, who is not going to last anyway. So he sent back a message that, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, I know what your wish is, that you wish to save someone and keep someone lasting who is not going to last. I ask you to relieve me of your need, for I am with the Muslims, and I do not wish to remove myself from them. I will suffer just as they are suffering. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu received the letter of Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu, he wept, he began weeping. Those around him said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, has Abu Ubaidah died? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, no, he has not died, but he is close to dying, almost dying. Not only did Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu love him and appoint him to the supreme leadership, but this was also the case with the other companions. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, in fact, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu trusted Abu Ubaidah to such an extent. Imagine Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi relates a hadith in his Muslim. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says that if I'm going to appoint, he learned that Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu had fallen ill in the plague. So he said to those who were with him, if I knew that I'm about to die right now, I would appoint Abu Ubaidah as my Khalifa. Meaning without exception, no committee to select a leader after me. No. I will appoint Abu Ubaidah to be the Khalifa of the Muslims after me by my express declaration. And then, when I die and I meet Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and Allah will ask me, that, O Umar, how and why did you appoint Abu Ubaidah as the Khalifa of the Muslims? I will say to Allah, O Allah, I appointed Abu Ubaidah as a leader of the Muslims because I heard your Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that every ummah has an ameen and a trustee, and the trustee of this ummah is Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. This is why I appointed him, because he is the trustee of Allah and the trustee of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine such confidence. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say that my best friends, أخلائي من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, my best friends, out of all the companions of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, are three, Abu Bakr, Umar, and Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. The love of the Sahaba رضي الله عنه for each other, their cleanliness, the purity of their hearts, the sincerity of their intention, was such that Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was the commander of one division. Sayyidina Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu was the commander of another army. That army and division was then sent to support Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu in Sham. When they arrived, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was extremely humble. He invited Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu and said to him, you have come as the head of the supporting army. Come, lead us in prayer. Sayyidina Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu said to him, I will never allow myself to be placed ahead of someone of whom I heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that every ummah has a trustee, and the trustee of this ummah is Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. He refused to leave him in salah. He insisted on praying salah behind Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. And later, when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu relegated Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu from his command and made Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah the supreme commander, even over Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, one would have thought that Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, or anyone in that position who has been relegated from his leadership and made subservient to someone else, that there would be shaitan who would create some ill feeling. No. This was a purity of their hearts, that when Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu was relegated from his command and Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu was elevated to the supreme command, Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu actually stood up and said to the army, the O believers, you have been sent as a supreme leader, someone of whom I heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, every ummah has a trustee, and the trustee of this ummah is Abu Ubaidah. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu then actually addressed the army himself, and he said, and I have heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say of Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu that he is one of the swords of the swords of He is a sword of the swords of Allah. This was how pure of hearts they were with each other. Allah. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, he once heard someone praise Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu in such a way that it made Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu look somewhat inferior. So Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu became extremely angry and said to him, how dare you speak of Abu Ubaidah in that manner? I swear by Allah, of all the people who are left on earth, he is the best. Now, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, what made the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his noble companions view him in that manner? It was his sincerity, his humility, his purity, his willingness to sacrifice, his willingness to assist others that made him who he was. He was extremely humble, despite being appointed as a supreme commander of the army, of all the forces that conquered Sham. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was so humble, that he actually stood up and said to the people, "O people, I am of the Quraysh," meaning being of the Quraysh, I obviously hold a position of leadership and inherent privilege. So he said to the people, "O people, I am of the Quraysh, but I swear by Allah, if there is anyone amongst you, whether he is red or black, brown or black, and he is better than me in taqwa, then by Allah I will follow in his footsteps." Imagine someone of that caliber saying that even though I am of the Quraysh and I am the leader of you, if I see anyone amongst you of any color, red or brown, black, that he excels me in taqwa, then I will follow in his footsteps. In fact, he used to say, "I wish I was a ram that is sacrificed and eaten." Similar to what Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would say about a bird or a blade of grass. This was because they feared accountability before Allah. They feared the reckoning of their deeds and their words and their statements. They would rather be a blade of grass or an animal that would be devoured and forgotten about, that would not have to be accountable and have to answer to Allah on the day of reckoning. Now, being the supreme commander of the armies that conquered Byzantine Rome, of Anatolia, of Sham, who secured the riches of Basra, of Damascus, of Jerusalem, of Beirut, of Antioch, of that whole fertile, wealthy region, one would have assumed that Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu would have amassed great riches. But no, this is why the Messenger of Allah trusted him, because of his asceticism, his lovelessness for the dunya, his detachment from the world, his desire for the akhirah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu traveled from Medina to Sham. In front of the people, he said to Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, "O Abu Ubaidah, take me to your house." So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu said to him, Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi relates hadith in his son, that when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu traveled to Sham after the conquest, he met Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, who was obviously the supreme commander. In front of everyone, he said to him, "O Abu Ubaidah, take me to your house." So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu said, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, what do you want in my house? What is there for you in my house?" So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, "O Abu Ubaidah, take me to your house." Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu said, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, you only wish to weep over me. That's what you want to do. I know what you want to do. You wish to weep over me." So he took him to his house. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu entered. All he found was a few utensils, a leather bag of water, some bedding, and that's it. The whole room, the whole house was bare. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Is there any food?" Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu stood up, and there was no proper food. There were only these dry crumbs, broken nuts, etc., nuts, pistachios, things like that. They were these usayrat, as they called them. He offered them to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu looked all around him and said to Abu Ubaidah, "O Abu Ubaidah, where are your belongings? Where are your belongings?" Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, the supreme commander of all the forces that conquered Sham and Anatolia, he says to Amir al-Mu'mineen, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, this is all that I have, and this is sufficient to carry me to my grave." Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu began weeping and said, "O Abu Ubaidah, by Allah, the dunya the world has touched every one of us except you, O Lord Waymaster. Imagine. Then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu sent 4,000 dirhams of silver coins and 400 gold sovereigns to Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. And that's roughly, approximately, it's about £10,000 actually of today's money. Approximately, just under £10,000. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu sent that amount of money with someone, and he said, see what Abu Ubaidah does with it. As soon as Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu received the money, he distributed it in the way of Allah. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu asked, what did Abu Ubaidah do with that money? And he was informed that Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu distributed every single silver and gold coin in the way of Allah and did not keep a single coin for himself. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, all praise be to Allah who has created amongst the Muslims such people who live and who do this. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu's concern for the Ummah was such, and his love of Shahada was such, that when the plague struck the whole region, including the armies and their garrison, Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, in the beginning, he was actually spared. So others suffered around him, but Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was actually immune initially to the effects of the plague. When he saw his own soldiers and the other Muslims dying around him, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, who had constantly sought shahada in the way of Allah for all those years side by side with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then in all the battles thereafter, but he had never seen martyrdom on the battlefield, he actually turned to Allah in prayer and he said, oh Allah, grant Abu Ubaidah and his family their share of the plague of Allah. He prayed to Allah. Then, after his dua was accepted, a small boil broke out on his small finger. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu began showing people the boil that had broken out on his small finger. So people started telling him, oh Abu Ubaidah, that's nothing. It's very small. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu said, I will pray that Allah puts barakah in this. For if Allah puts barakah in this, this little will grow to be excessive and large. And indeed, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was then struck by plague. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu wrote to him saying to him, come back to me. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah, as I said earlier, wrote back to him saying, I know what you wish to do, O Mu'mineen. You wish to save someone who cannot be saved. You wish to make someone lasting who cannot last. I wish to remain with the believers here. And then Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu mentioned the hadith that I heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, and he mentioned the categories of the shuhada and the martyrs, and one of them is one who dies in a plague. He will be a shaheed of Allah. That was Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. There is much more to say about him, about his character, his sincerity, his purity. I leave you with just one of his words of wisdom. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was once walking through the army camp and he said, people whiten their clothes, yet they darken and soil their souls. People clean their clothes, yet they pollute their souls. Then he said, addressing the people, hasten to remove your old misdeeds with new fresh good deeds. I pray that Allah Azza wa Jalla enables us to understand the value and caliber and the worth of these noble souls and companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah enable us to follow in their footsteps. May Allah inspire us to adopt their piety, their sincerity, their taqwa, their love of Allah as Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their desire for the akhirah, their willingness to give privilege and preference to others over themselves. We may well ask, that how was it that these few Bedouin tribes from the middle of Arabia, who were considered totally ungoverned by the Sasanian Persian Empire, the Byzantine Roman Empire, and the Abyssinian Empire at the time, These empires could not even try to directly rule these wild Arab Bedouin tribes in Central Arabia. They didn't, because they considered them to be so backward, so wild, that they were ungovernable. They didn't bother them. They left them to rot in the deserts. Historians ask, we may well also ask, how was it that in the space of a few years, these wild, supposedly, I say only as they were seen at the time, these Bedouin nomadic Arab tribes rose from Central Arabia and they totally obliterated the Sasanian Persian Empire, superpower of its time. They reduced the power and the realm and the rule of the Byzantine Roman Empire and crushed these huge armies, and they spread their faith, their religion, their way, their language to such a huge part of the world. How were they able to achieve it? These Arabs that rose from a part of Arabia that knew no civilization, no culture, no great achievement, that was never seen as a center of commercial power, political power, let alone military power, and in the space of a few years, they destroyed two superpowers of the time. We may well ask, what was it? Was it simply the leadership and the skills of Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu? Was it simply their valor, their courage, and their military prowess and strength? That military prowess was unheard of before that time. So what was it? These were the qualities of the people of Sayyidina Abu Ubaida radiallahu anhu that led the way and that achieved for them what was achieved. It was their hearts that conquered the hearts. It was their hearts and their characters that conquered the lands. Not their swords, not their spears and their shields. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to appreciate the character and the personalities of these noble companions. May Allah give us a share of their sincerity, of their taqwa, of their love of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and of their piety. وصلى الله وسلم على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك الله.